Welcome into Diamonds in the Desert. Haley Stasiak and Jordan Hamm here. It is Wednesday, March 7th. The Diamondbacks have the day off today, their first full off day of the spring as a team. We're going to talk a little bit about how the spring has gone so far for some of the guys that are having good springs, guys that aren't having such great springs, but we'll get into it. But let's start out with the bullpen cart, the big news surrounding the Diamondbacks this week. Diamondbacks are bringing back the bullpen cart that was popular in the 70s with the batting helmet on top to bring the guys in from the bullpen. Diamondbacks are also the first team to bring that back. Seen a lot of stuff about a lot of clubs following suit and doing so. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, first things first, let's let the golf caddies rejoice. The Diamondbacks have an off day, so I'm sure they're hitting the links. The spring training off day means buku bucks for all the caddies and anyone involved on a golf course. So congrats to you guys. Live it up later this evening after you're counting your tips. For the golf cart, out of left field, I'll start with that. You know, they're talking about rate of play. They're talking about just all the issues, collusion issues with these teams that are tanking and, you know, agents speaking out and so many issues. And here we are going, we got a golf cart bringing guys out. It's fun. I think the Diamondbacks have always done a good job of being original, you know, even from the way that the stadium was built with the pool in right field. Right. They've always done things a little bit differently. It's a fun idea. Actually, Yoshi Hirano has never ran out of the bullpen. Japan. He spent all of his career in Japan, and they have the option. I think for the most part, most of these guys are going to run out. I did see a funny comment from Andrew Chafin, our favorite Diamondbacks redneck, and he said he could at least get that thing going at least 10 to 15 miles per hour faster if he souped it up a little bit. It's fun. I did see Derek Hall quoted saying that it could actually make the pace of play a little bit quicker.
Oh, at least by a couple minutes.
Well, who knows? You know, it's not like any of these guys are crawling out of the bullpen, but it's fun. It will, on a much smaller scale, much like ASU got on the radar with their curtain of distraction. That could just be a fun thing the Diamondbacks are known for with their crazy menu items and their pool in right field.
Speaking of those menu items, that was also released, some new additions to their menu. I just have to point out the Sada Dog, which is an 18-inch hot dog with pico carne asada. I think there's guacamole and there's french fries on it as well. That was just one of about four new menu additions.
Quick question. What percentage of time have you not thought about the asada dog since you saw it? Because you let out a yelp when you saw the photo there. We got the email.
I didn't realize there were photos. I was just like, oh, that sounds good.
And then there was a photo. I scrolled down to the attachments and I was like, oh, this looks pretty good. And she went, there are photos? And ran to her laptop to do some investigating.
No, I saw the picture of it. I was like, oh my gosh, that looks so good. And growing up, I wasn't a hot dog person. I was into bratwurst and stuff.
I find that hard to believe.
Okay, yeah. And then after covering the Diamondbacks for a little bit in the press box, they have those grilled hot dogs and started getting really into that. And now when I saw this asada dog, I really love carne asada tacos too.
I love food so much, but I don't think I've ever based my schedule around the consumption of hot dogs like you have last year, where
I do.
It was an incentive to Diamondbacks. Yeah, if it was during a homestand and she knew it was a hot dog day, she was probably going to go. So
I'm not a foodie too. Moving on, let's talk about guys that are having good springs. Who is your guy that you've noticed is doing pretty well this year?
Well, let me preface with this. He's had. Okay, first couple of things. Obviously, a lot of the starters aren't going to get a ton of work. This is kind of an opportunity for those fringe 40-man players, for those fringe 25-man roster guys to get a debut and a nice extended audition in front of the big league club. So a lot of the guys, you look at Ray Fuentes, who is leading the team in innings played. Obviously, he's a guy that may start in Reno, work his way up to the
designated for assignment.
That sort of thing. So let's preface it with that. But the guy I've been keeping an eye on this spring, and I think he's going to have a very important role this year, is Braden Shipley. Hasn't given up a run yet, just three innings pitched, but he's going to be important because I think a lot of fans don't realize kind of the last year they did have some depth with that, we'll call him the sixth and seventh starter in that rotation. You had the Zach Godley that could step up when a guy got hurt. Shelby Miller's not going to be ready for a little bit, you know, even to the point where he's ready to, you know, start throwing in games. And even then, that's going to take a little bit of time. So Shipley's probably going to be that sixth, seventh starter, one of those spots in there, because Anthony Bonda got traded. So what was an area of probably a little bit of depth is now a little thin. So I think he's going to play a crucial role. And, you know, I know I've talked about this before, but the role Zach Godley played last year, being that sixth and seventh guy, and then eventually made his way to the fifth guy in the rotation, and I would argue, you know, probably could have leapfrogged Pat Corbin. You could kind of do a, you know, 4A, 4B in terms of that rotation. That was so crucial. So I think it's going to be a long season. You know that more than five guys are going to get starts. But keeping an eye on that, I think Taylor Clark's another guy that could be kind of a candidate for that. But in terms of the exhibitions I've seen, you know, it's probably comforting for Diamondbacks fans to see that Braden Shipley is getting off to a good start because he could play a big role in this team this upcoming year.
We'll get more into Zach Godley in a second. You mentioned Ray Fuentes, and that's one of the guys that I was going to mention. He's batting at .381. You mentioned he's logged the most innings at 54. And just in the last couple weeks or so, you've kind of seen on social media, and we've seen in person, some of the plays he's been making in the outfield. He's not going halfway. He's going full throttle. He's making the diving catches.
Right.
And, I mean, it's so important in spring to, I guess you could, it's cliche, but practice how you play. And those guys that are playing how they practice are going to be impact guys. And you notice them. You notice that. And just the effort. We talked to Kevin Crone last week, and he mentioned the stuff he's learning from being in the big league club. So some of these guys, like you mentioned, those fringe guys that are up in this big league club for the first time, Jack Reinheimer, to name another, they're getting the experience. They're learning from these guys. They're seeing how it's done at this level. I mean, I think Reinheimer was in Reno AAA last year. So just seeing that and the effort overall, I mean.
And we saw that when he had a, you know, short, we'll call it a tryout with the big league club when there were some injuries. When we saw A.J. Pollock go down and there was some, you know, before J.D. Martinez got there, he played some significant innings. I specifically remember on an East Coast road trip against the Phillies and the Braves, he played a lot and he had some crucial plays, both defensively and offensively. So just knowing that you do have a guy like that, again, it's kind of figuring out to know what you have, not just on that 25 and those nine players that are going to be out there every day for you, but the guys that will be those, you know, 25 to 40 and then 40 and beyond, just taking into account that. So seeing them. And, you know, you're also not going against the opponent's best either. There's probably, you know, guys that are working through things and limited innings. So, you know, obviously take it with a grain of salt. But just a couple guys that have caught the eye of us so far this spring training.
Let's talk about Zach Godley. Recently, he's been getting quite a bit of attention as an under-the-radar guy. I saw an article, I don't remember where it was, just last night about him being the number one under-the-radar pitcher to watch. There was a couple other guys on there. One other guy from the Diamondbacks, can't remember off the top of my head right now. But we saw the talent last year. You mentioned a little bit earlier. We saw the talent last year. We saw the impact that he had. Now it seems everyone's keeping their tabs. Torey Lovello mentioned that he's not a secret anymore, which was his kind of his weapon last year.
Right.
People didn't know his pitches, didn't know how he worked. I love his energy on the mound. I love how he's named the bull for a reason. He powers off the mound at the end of an inning. Love the energy that he brings and just – when you see him out at practices too, he's having fun. He's taking it easy. But now that he's more known, he is dancing. I actually have some good footage of that. But now that he's more known, how do you think that coming into this season, that's going to affect the way hitters hit off?
Well, he's in an interesting situation. Him and Robbie Ray are in interesting situations because I read, according to ESPN's metrics, Robbie Ray got the most people in the big leagues last year to chase pitches and swing and miss. Zach Godley was number two. So with that full offseason to scout, how many people are going to continue to chase that. And no, just being aware of that, I think, will force him to get a little creative with how he has to throw his pitches. You know, like kind of like you said, when there is a pseudo bullseye, people approach you a little bit differently, mm-hmm. And they're a little more aware. Now, he had a pretty sustained success for quite a bit of the season, and it's not like the in-season scouting goes out the window. This was after a couple of months. He was really still hitting his stride, and guys were still swinging and missing. So right. I think he's already shown he can make those adjustments, even to the pitcher that he was in 2016, where he was – you saw him come up for a few spot starts. He was a long reliever, did fine, but just the steps he's made, it just seems like he has kind of that fire to continue that progression. And even when, you know, like you said, he has his fun, but when he's in the bullpen
and
you're watching him throw, he really is. And I think – seeing that solid performance so far in the spring training games obviously is good for the Diamondbacks fans.
Well, and when he came up last year, after a couple of his spot starts before he was officially put into the rotation, we said, hey, that guy's got something
right
there. And we, like, you noticed that. But again, going back to the earlier point, when you're not following the Diamondbacks as closely as necessarily we follow, or if you're a national fan and Diamondbacks aren't a team that's necessarily on your radar. Now they might be because right. of all the talk surrounding them, and obviously bringing back the bullpen
exactly.
card gets the name out there, but you see it.
And the narrative of Zach Godley is similar to the narrative of the Diamondbacks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they made those big off-season splashes 2 years ago and did jack squat with them. And then virtually the exact same team with no pressure on them when no one watching them goes to the NLDS.
Right.
And now the radars are up on everyone. Again, it's an improved NL West, so we'll see how that goes. But it's very similar, you know, Zach Godley and the team as a whole, just how they're viewed and how they are on the radar.
Let's talk about the outfield some more. We've discussed this a lot in the last couple weeks because of the signings and the trades made with Souza Jr. being added and Dyson as well. Yasmani Tomas has gotten some playing time out there.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't been impressing defensively, which to me is a huge thing,
mm-hmm.
because after he was out most of the season last year, coming out defensively in the outfield is what the Diamondbacks are looking for. He has been okay offensively, but defensively it's just hasn't clicked for him quite yet. Where are you seeing him now after seeing some of his games, him playing? Where do you see him?
Look, where he's thriving right now is where I think everyone expects him to thrive. He's 7-for-17 right now,
mm-hmm.
So right around the 400 clip. Again, take all of these stats with a grain of salt. The defense hasn't quite been there. Now it's a position of depth, but Nick Pecoro actually did a really good article about a week ago about just the roster breakdown and how is there going to be a spot for Yasmani Tomas. He wrote that you have Souza, Dyson, A.J. Pollock, David Peralta in the outfield. The infield, Paul Goldschmidt, Ketel Marte, Nick Ahmed, Jake Lamb, Chris Owings, Daniel Descalzo, Alex Avila, Jeff Mathis behind the plates. And then that leaves that's already 12 position players. You got to think probably Chris Herman's in there as well,
mm-hmm.
For his versatility. So that's now 13. You're not going to keep 14 position players on this roster. So do they put him in AAA and make him a very expensive AAA player? Do they just cut ties with him right now and just cut their losses? This wasn't the regime that brought him in. You know, this was actually, I believe, two regimes ago that brought Yasmani Tomas in. And but Nick also did a good job kind of identifying, like, this deal made sense at the time,
right?
But now it's limiting. You have that, you have Zach Greinke. That's a lot of money
right.
under control that you now can't negotiate. You probably were never in the conversation for JD Martinez because of that. You have to go get Steven Souza Jr. now. What were the deals that had to be made because that contract's already there? So I think he's the odd man out, honestly. You know, if this was an American League team, I'd feel comfortable putting him in mm-hmm. a at least in a platoon designated hitter
right.
Role, but he's a defensive liability. I'd be interested to see him at first base, but you're not going to take a bats away from Paul Goldschmidt or Christian Walker for that matter. Daniel Descalzo can play first as well. So where they have the depth are the other options that you could put Tomas, and it's just not there. So where I see him fitting is currently not on the major league roster. I don't know where he'll end up, whether it's off the team completely or down in AAA, but I just don't see right now, unless there's an injury, how he could be on this major league roster opening day.
We're about 3 weeks out from opening day. The Diamondbacks will take on the Rockies then. Lots going on this spring. We'll continue to follow the moves and what all is going on over there at Salt River Fields. That's all we've got for Diamonds in the Desert. Haley Stasiak and Jordan Hamm, thanks for joining us.